Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord, it's Sunday night again. Praise Jesus, I am so happy to be meeting with you guys. I give God the glory. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for everything in it. Thank you that you are preparing your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are making us ready. That those that are hungry and thirsty for you, you're making us ready for the days to come. That we will be strong and not weak. That we will be ready for everything that is coming. We'll be able to have the right word in due season. And we'll know what you're saying. That you're preparing us. Really, all we have to do is keep our antenna up and we will hear you. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. As I was praying earlier, I had the most interesting idea from the Lord. It reminded me of back when I was working in the corporate world. And in that world, sometimes people would issue a meeting notice. And it was when they wanted to meet with you and they called it FaceTime. And I saw God issuing a meeting notice. Not this meeting, not any of the meetings that we do, but a meeting between you and him. He was inviting you to come and meet with him personally. He was inviting you to a face-to-face, FaceTime, Holy Ghost, in the Holy of Holies meeting with him. Because he said he has much to say to you. And there are some things God wants to say to you that he doesn't just want to use another person to say it. There are some things God wants to give you on your inside that only he can do. And it's just called fellowship. It's just a real simple fellowship with God. But God wants to bring you into his presence, into his office, so to speak, to have some FaceTime with you, to download to you really the things that you may have been asking him about. I want to give a little word of knowledge before I launch in. As I was praying for the meeting, I saw someone, they were laying down and they were feeling very weak. And this was not spiritual weakness, but a physical weakness. They were struggling in their physical body. They were feeling an extraordinary type of weakness. And the Lord says he's restoring your strength. He is restoring your strength. So I want you to believe God to restore your strength. Drink a lot of water. But he's restoring your strength to you. And this is a physical thing, not a spiritual thing, okay? But he is restoring you. So don't worry and don't have fear. I feel like there's a temptation to be afraid of what has caused that weakness. But the Lord is with you. And he said, don't have fear. Believe me. In Jesus' name. And he also said, drink some water. How's that for a word of knowledge? So God is inviting us into his place. It's called his place. And you know, one of the neat things about coming into his place is that we don't have to know anything. We don't even have to know how to do it right. It's simply like a little child goes into his father. Just, you know, we don't know anything. When I first started going in to meet with God, I didn't know anything how to do it. I didn't know anything how to hear his voice, or I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew that I loved him. And that is enough. Loving him and knowing that your heart loves God is enough for the Father. And all you have to do is show up and just start to tell him. Just sit quietly. You know, enter that place of rest and just sit quietly. Close your eyes and just begin to think and softly speak how much you love him. Think of some things that you're thankful for. Begin to thank him. Tell him there's no one but him for you, that he's the one and only. God loves to hear, you know, he loves to hear that he's the one and only. It's usually how I start my day, and almost always how I start my worship, as I tell him he's the only one, the only God. He's the one true God. He's the name above every name. And that's not in word only. I mean to tell you, I tell him that I will have no other gods before him. See, God likes to hear that. He hates to share his glory. He hates to share you. He doesn't like to share you with the world. You know, he doesn't want to share you with the devil or with other idols, other gods. He doesn't like that. He wants you. He wants you for himself. And it's because he loves you. And it's a healthy kind of love. God cares more for you than anyone on earth cares for you, and even more than you care for yourself. So the Father wants you to know that he's actually got some things for you. And I saw plans. You remember the scripture, he knows the plans that he has for you, right? To give you a future and a hope. Well, there's some actual plans in the holy place. Actually, I saw documents, actual plans and papers that concern you. They have your name. Your plans are not mixed in with my plans. Your plans have your name on them, and they're only for you. And they're very precious to the Father. He values them as he values you. He values you. And I know sometimes there's this this thing, this web of lies that people get caught in that's from the enemy that tries to say, well, God doesn't really care about you and because of how it looks or circumstances. That is absolutely not true. The Father loves you, and he loves your life, and he loves the plan that he has for your life. And so many Christian people who love the Lord don't really have their plan from God. They have never really been able to discern from the Father the plan for their life. They've never gotten their book or their documents, so to speak. And I want to say this. It's not like you get the whole package at once. That's how we think. You know, it'd be nice, right, if we just could just push the button and we get our whole packet and then we study it. But God knows he's smarter than we are, and he knows that we actually would not handle that very well, right? Because the way we process things spiritually, what he does is he gives us a bit at a time, a piece at a time. And so it's important to keep coming back for the next piece. And it's also important to take what piece he has given you, even if it's a small piece. You may think it's not important, but God does not look at things the way we do. But what he does do is he sees how you handle the little thing, how you handle the little stuff, how you handle the thing that maybe isn't as much fun, you know, how you handle serving when it's not rewarded, let's say, or submitting to somebody that maybe isn't nice to you or doesn't isn't warm to you. Maybe God is calling you to just love someone that isn't loving you back, or serve somebody that, you know, in the natural you might think, ooh, they're just like them, you know. When God calls you to do something, and this is not just something we make up, but let's say it's just a task he's given you. Often we have the tendency to say, well, I'll just kind of blow through that and then he'll give me the important stuff. But you may miss the entire point here. To God, that is the important stuff, because without getting that right, he knows you won't get the big stuff right. In other words, almost every minister worth their salt will tell you that before God allowed them to do bigger things, he required them to do smaller and more mundane things. Mundane meaning trivial. And it is the same for many ministers. Some of us had to clean toilets, carry garbage, submit to the leadership that we didn't necessarily agree with. Maybe we didn't like the way they did everything. Maybe we thought we knew more. Hallelujah. Probably didn't. But I think with almost all ministers who are released in any level of the anointing, there has been a season, and sometimes a very long season, of doing the trivial as a form of servanthood, because a true servant's heart is the foundation for everything else. It's not the gifts. There's a lot of people who think they're hotshots, you know, honestly, in the Holy Ghost. They're hotshots with the Word of God or their doctrine. There's Holy Spirit know-it-alls who don't really know it all. And they think that because they have a gifting, God should be using them, but they still have not learned the primary function of the heart. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. He came to give his life in order that you might have a chance, an opportunity to be reconciled to God. And that heart, let this heart be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let that heart be in you. And until it is, until Christ is formed in you in that way, I don't care how gifted you are or how anointed you think you are, or if you have miracles. I will tell you the honest truth, and I'm going to be brutally frank. I've met people who are completely mean-spirited, unkind, yet operate in some of the gifts. And you say, how can that be? I don't know. I guess because they have faith. But I'll tell you what, when you get somebody who's operating in a gift who is not kind, now you've got somebody that's going to go around and make problems for the whole body of Christ and for the lost. And they're out there. But don't you ever be one of them. Don't you be one of them. Don't you be one. We need to learn the foundation. And when you do, God will promote you. I feel like I'm talking to somebody that you're waiting for the promotion of the Lord. And God always promotes. And it's not a promotion into the thing. There's not one step into the thing you're called to do. There are many. It's a journey. It is a lifelong journey without really an end, because you're continually promoted as you work on your heart all the days of your life. There is no, my heart now, I got my heart right now, I'm there. There's no there. There's no there. It is a journey that for all the days of your life, God will continue to reveal things that you need to work on to make your heart even better, in a better kindness, a better framework, a better servant, more about the kingdom, more about God's people. You know, God will continually, gently and kindly help you to grow in that. And every time you do, you will see promotion in the anointing, promotion in the gifting, promotion in power. Some people are all about walking in power because, to be honest, it's an ego thing. An ego is kind of a nice word for pride. It's a pride thing. We, you know, as humans, sometimes we're all about me and, you know, how I feel about me. And there's our human nature, our Adamic, our nature from Adam, our nature is very much self-absorbed. And that may mean to make much of yourself. It also can mean to make little of yourself. Constantly putting yourself down. Constantly thinking what's wrong with you. Constantly beating yourself up. Constantly building yourself up. So you see, a person who is self-absorbed may be a braggart, or they may be constantly belittling themselves. Both people are self-absorbed. They're not kingdom-absorbed. They're not God-absorbed. And so the idea is to take the focus off of me, right? And only God can do this. You can only do this in Him as you fellowship with Him. It's something you have to ask Him to help you convert your heart. We are saved when we're born again, but our heart, our soul, our doings, you know, our being has to, we have to convert the way we think and the way we operate in God, the way we operate in the Word of God, the way we operate with people. I was watching someone who was very gifted, doctrinally gifted. They knew a lot. But I heard some truth as I watched them, and I want to be honest. I felt like they were so interested in kind of beating people into believing what they believe that I could see that people were either being hurt or were turning it off, because there was no trace of love in them. They weren't delivering it with true care for the person. You know, whenever God corrects, it's because He cares. And if you're delivering a correction or a teaching and it is not evident that you care about that person, you may not be expressing it right, but that should be the heart. Because the whole reason God has any of us speaking to any other of us, right? None of us have the right. You know, God lets us speak for Him, which I find amazing, because none of us are Him. You know, no one, none of us delivered as well as He does. You know, He's amazing in His kindness. He's amazing in His compassion. And when He corrects, or when He teaches, or when He tries to bring someone to the next level, it is always because He loves them. He loves them. He wants them to make it. That's the heart of God. He wants them. If you see a heroin addict, a porn addict, a person who's been used to brutalize people, a really evil person, you see them, You know, God doesn't like what they do, but what he wants for them is for them to find their way in relationship. And the same when you look at the body of Christ, you'll see people in the body and you think, boy, that person really, ooh, they need deliverance. But you know what? The fact is, if we have the heart of Jesus, we've got to get past what we think of them and begin to pray for them. Okay? All of us deal with difficult people. But what I'm trying to say to you is, promotion comes from the Lord. Our plans come from the Lord. But if you're feeling impatient about the big thing that God has shown you, you need to look at the little thing that God has told you to do and do it well and do it with all your heart. Don't do it as lip service. Don't do it because it's just this thing you got to do to move on. Do it truly. Do it with truth and honor and love and with a servant's heart. And do it, have this heart. If I do this forever, as long as it pleases my Father, I'll do it with joy. And when you get that heart, he'll watch you for a while to see if you'll maintain that heart. And when you maintain that heart for a while in doing the low thing, the thing you didn't want to do, the thing that seems the least, the unpopular thing, the thing you don't like doing, you know, but it helps somebody else, he'll watch you for a while. And if he sees a servant's heart, he'll say, come up higher, come up higher. And you'll sense in the spirit there'll be like an opening, a promotion. And many times you'll actually experience a promotion in the spirit, which is quite often. And I want to describe it by saying it's an increase in the power. You can feel an increase in the anointing when you speak. There's an increase in knowledge. There's an increase in revelation. And so, but that promotion will go on the rest of your life. It's not one step. It's many steps where, for the whole of your life, as you keep your heart right, and as you endeavor to make your heart more and more like his heart, you see, because that's the heart he can flow through. And so, I think there's this misnomer, or this misunderstanding of we are waiting for the big thing that we're going to do. And you say, well, why would God show me this big thing I'm going to do if all he cares about is the little stuff? And I look back over my life. He started telling me in my 20s what I would do for him. And it was this big thing that I just dreamed of doing. I still have not fully accomplished it, by the way. But I didn't even begin. I mean, he didn't even begin to release me in it until, many years. So I had many years of learning and learning servanthood and submitting to a pastor and learning right doctrine and learning about faith and learning the Word. I knew some stuff about Holy Ghost, but I didn't know enough about the Word. And you know, the Lord, he doesn't want people, I want to say this right, he loves everybody, but his desire is that those that work for him would be thoroughly furnished to every good work, like the scriptures say. That those who serve him will represent him well. You know, and it can't just be like you're a clanging gong with lots of knowledge. You know, like some people are just a clanging gong with lots of knowledge. That does not help God. It does not cause people to run to God. I'd rather have somebody with poor doctrine and low levels of knowledge who really walked in love, because what I've seen is when somebody really walks in love, other people respond and they say, I want God. I need that God. I need a God who loves me. That's what I need. People don't respond as much to knowledge as they do to being loved. I watched Edgar love people into the kingdom, impossible people, people who did not want anything to do with God. And he would just love them, and not this fake stuff we see so much of. He would love them through his eyes. The God's love would pour through his eyes, through his hands, through his voice. He would love on them. And for him, at the moment he was speaking to them, it was as though there was no one else in the world that mattered but them. And they knew it. And I watched atheists get saved. I watched rough people get saved, people who didn't want anything to do with the Lord or with Edgar. I watched their heart change and their countenance change, because people cannot resist the love of God. And the reason they can't resist it is we were created to be the bride. The bride was created to receive the love of God. That's what we're created for. Even the worst sinner, the worst atheist, the worst Satanist, in them, they were created to receive the love of God. It's very hard for them to refuse the real thing. And so with all our getting, we really need to get the heart that can contain that flow of the love of God. And I'm not going to tell you I've arrived, because I haven't, but I am going to tell you that I've been pressing in for a while and I have seen change. Just recently, you know, every once in a while in a ministry, there's a person that's, you know, just a little bit more difficult to deal with, or a little bit, maybe isn't always kind, you know. And I think every minister has some of those in their life, and that person's always careful to tell them how bad they did and what they did wrong and what they should do better. And there's a temptation, I'll be honest, when that person comes for the 14th time to tell you what you did wrong this time, you know, in your flesh you kind of want to respond, you know, a certain way. But the heart of God is this. He sees them as a broken soul. And he sees them, they're just responding out of brokenness. They're responding out of some crippling. And they don't know how else to communicate. And so, you know, recently God began to deal with me. I have a friend like that in my life. And I'll be honest, you know, my flesh wanted to just kind of say it like it is. And the Lord said, you know, I want you to reach out to that person. I want you to reach out to them, and I want you to help them, because they will not find any other help. They don't have any other help, and that's why they're crabby. Okay, he didn't use those words, we're just saying. Sometimes we need to see through God's eyes, or we need to let him look through our eyes. We need to get a clue that the heart of God is the biggest part of the matter. I think too much we've preached the outward manifestation of the Spirit, and we've made that the goal. Raising the dead, healing the sick, growing out the lake, and too much we've made that the goal. Being a great preacher, this is not how it's done in heaven, let me just say. Those things are a byproduct of the real thing. Miracles are the byproduct of the real thing. And if we try to focus just on miracles, we will miss the point and the miracles. Miracles are a byproduct. Being used of God is a byproduct of the real thing. And so God's trying to get us with this meeting notice. I was talking earlier, for those who just joined, I felt like God had issued this invitation to each of us independently, individually, to come before him and to hang out with him to get our plan or pieces of our plan. I remember many years ago, I was at a prayer meeting at the church, and I was in the back of the sanctuary and just worshiping and praying God, just walking around and praying, and I began to see this scroll in the spirit. It was as though it was coming towards me, this soul that was sealed with a seal. It was a document. It was being given to me. Now, I didn't understand it, but I knew that God was giving me an assignment, and I also knew that it would take me years to come into the understanding of it. And what the only thing he said to me was they were ordination papers. Now, everyone's called to different things, but when you receive something from heaven, you won't usually understand the fullness of it right away, and you weren't meant to. It's a journey. It's a thing you sit at the feet of Jesus to learn and to come to understand. And there are pieces of my journey where I'm still saying, oh, that's what he meant. Oh, that's what that vision was. Oh, I see now what you meant by that statement, Lord. It's an ever-growing, ever-expanding. You see, because God is without limit and without measure. He is the eternal God, and he has no limits that bind him. If we could see God, we would just fall on our face at the greatness and the majesty and the hugeness of God, the everlastingness of eternity. And God is so vast that when we get pieces, because we're so, to be honest, compared to God, we're very finite. And so we get stuff in the Spirit. We get it in the Spirit first from the Lord, because that's how he communicates. He communicates to your born-again spirit. You may get that in a vision. You may get that in a dream. You may get that. You may hear it internally. You may, you know, have a sense of it. You may have an unction from it. But that doesn't mean you have full understanding yet. And so what happens is God will give you some input as you sit with Him, or as you're just praying into something, you're just praying, you might get a little piece of the puzzle. I think that as Americans, we tend to say, well, just show me the whole picture. Just give me the puzzle. Just hit, you know, push the button. Just make it happen. But that isn't the way God functions. And the reason is He knows we can't do that anyway. We don't have the ability in the natural, because these things are manifestations of the Spirit. You see, your mind in the Spirit, your born-again Spirit, it's infinite. It's heavenly. It's holy. But your earthly mind is very much finite, and it operates based on what it has seen in the natural and heard. We have all these ways that we think about things. We are very, frankly, very limited in our thinking compared to God. And so when God gives us a piece of eternity called your plan, your papers, your documents, right? When He gives to you a piece of that, first of all, He can't give you the whole thing. Or it would be hard, I think, for you to receive, I'll say it that way, the whole thing at once, because there's such a vast understanding. But what He'll do is begin to give you pieces, and as you go through life, as you go through the Word, as you go through encounters, things will happen that are caused by God, steps of a good man or of the Lord, that will cause your understanding to grow, and you'll say, oh, that's what He meant. That's what He meant by that. And so God is doing a thing in this day, and we're seeing it everywhere we go. We're seeing people are having encounters that are a new kind of encounter. People are having touches from God where suddenly they're set free, or suddenly they understand something they didn't understand before. And it's because of the season we're in. There's not a lot of time for us. So God's making it really easy for anybody that's hungry. Because He's been telling us, if ever there was a time, He's been saying this for some months, if ever there was a time, you know, stop putting it off. Stop, don't put things off. Now's the time. If ever there was a time for us to get this, it's now. There's a season of openness like never before, a season of receiving like never before, a season of hearing like never before. That window will not stay open forever because of the things going on in the earth. So God is really, really encouraging us to hook into Him. And for that person that you're so condemning yourself and feeling like you're not worthy, blah, 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 just take that whole thing and put that on the back burner for right now. God is bypassing that. And the reason is he cares about your every little thing, but He has already earned your worthiness for you. You never could earn it, and I couldn't either. We have no righteousness of our own. We never did. It's never been our righteousness. He has given us His. And He's saying to this one person, for once in your life, will you look at what I've done instead of what you've done? Because that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at all that you did wrong. I'm looking at what I did. And in that's how I see you. That's the light through which I see you. Those are the filters through which I look at you. And in my heart, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So stop focusing on everything you've done wrong, or everything you've missed, everything you should have done or shouldn't have done. Let's just focus for now on what I've done and what I'm getting ready to do, because I have a plan. I have a plan with your name on it. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. I want to bring you into a place. I will do the work. All you got to do is show up. I'll do the work. I want to bring you right into my bosom, says the Lord, right into my heart, right into the Holy of Holies, right into me, where I can speak to you, where I can pour into you. Some of you have been so wounded. I see some of you have been so wounded, and you've carried wounds, you've carried scars, doubts, fears, worries about what the Lord thinks, worries about what people think, and the Lord is saying, come unto me, and leave that stuff outside the door. Trust me enough that I can minister to you by the Holy Spirit. Trust me enough, He is saying. I'm not saying, but He's saying, trust me enough that I love you enough that we can leave all that stuff outside the Holy of Holies, outside of the gates, and you can come into me and I can hold you in my arms and I can heal your wounds. And I can pour my breath over those scars and you'll be made whole on the inside. And for the first time in your life, you'll be able to hold your head high without shame. I'm releasing you from shame today. There is no reason for you to continue to carry shame in your life. Because I died that you would never have to carry it again. I died that you could have my wholeness. I became broken so you could have my wholeness, my reality, my truth, not the truths of the earth that you've lived with, not the wounding, not the beatings, not the abuse, not the words. There's someone I'm talking to. You've been beaten with words, hit, pounded with words. It was abuse. It was verbal abuse, but I can actually see the hits over the years that it took on your soul. And you've tried to do well, but I can see the wounding, and I can see that you're bent over, you know, like you walk as someone who's old and bent over, not in the natural, but because it's just been too much to carry. And I'm going to say, this is the Lord speaking now, I'm prophesying from Him. I never meant for you to carry that. And He says, I was abused too. They said terrible things to me too. And I know how it feels. I know what it feels like to have people say truly unkind things motivated by a demon spirit. I've been there and I've done that. I know how that hurts. And I know what it feels like. But here's something that happened I want you to understand. And I hear Him saying, my darling, I want you to understand. I took brokenness willfully, on purpose. I did it on purpose for you to be made whole. I took brokenness in the soul, abuse, I took abuse, I took beatings in my physical body, I shed blood, I did it on purpose, and I did it so that you could exchange wounding for wholeness, scars for healing, abuse for wholeness. See, I want you to trade in all that stuff today. Because I have something so wonderful for you. I don't want you to look at yourself anymore. I don't want you to look at what you think you've done wrong or right. I just want you to come and say, I'm giving you all my scars. I'm giving you all my wounds, all my brokenness, all my anger, all my fear, all my doubt. All my inability. I've tried and tried to do this, someone's saying. I've tried and tried to make this go, and I can't seem to make it go. And I'm saying to you, that's right, honey, you can't, because I'm the only one that can, He says. But I wanted you to come to me, and as you bring this stuff to me, bring me all your brokenness. Bring me everything in your life that has been broken or wounded or destroyed. Bring it to me. Put it on the altar. Let me take it and destroy it, and let me give you instead my wholeness, my complete redemption, new life, new heart, new thinking, new emotional outlook and perspective. Let shame fall off at the foot of the cross. Just let, there's like a cloak of shame, just let that fall off. That's not yours. That is not, does not belong to you by covenant right. I'm redeeming you from shame tonight. There's someone watching, your parents. They didn't know any better, okay? They didn't know how to do better. They had problems themselves. So we don't condemn them. We love them. But they didn't know any better but than to speak negatively. And they actually pointed the finger at you and some of the other kids, I feel like, in your family. They pointed a finger But really what they were doing was they couldn't handle their own shame. And so the only way they knew how to deal with it was try to get rid of it any way they knew, which was to verbalize it. But it wasn't your shame to take. It wasn't your error to pay the price for. It wasn't your sin to pay the price for. And so I'm taking that. As you give it to me, I'm taking it and I'm replacing it with wholeness. And you'll be able to lift your eyes and look up for the first time in your life without shame, without remorse, without regret, and without sorrow, because that is not your portion. That's not your covenant right, is those things. Shame is not part of the covenant that I have for you. But peace and joy in me, relationship where you know deep down in you that you are accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in me because of what I did, not because of anything you did or didn't do, but because of what I did, says the King. Because of what I did, you are accepted forever. Forever. This is the gospel message. And this is the good news of the kingdom. And this is what you can tell people that the gospel message is. That I redeem and I seek and save that which was lost, that which was destroyed, stolen, burned, and abused. And I replace it with wholeness, healing, joy, peace, happiness, and a plan and a future. I have so much for you. Don't run away from me. Run to me. I have so much for each and every one of you. And I want you to know, no one is left out. Don't feel like there's someone here, you've had such rejection, you want to say that I'm not talking to you, I'm only talking to the others. I'm exposing it right now. That is Satan speaking to you. You are not left out. I'm talking to you. This means you. Jesus is talking to you. The one who always hung in the back corner, who always stayed back out of the crowd feeling like, everyone else will get it, but I won't get it. Everyone else will get the word, but I won't get it. It's not really for me. That is a liar. That is from the liar. It is a spirit, and it's not true. And you are my precious one. You, back in the corner, you're my precious one. You, even when you were growing up, you always were the kid that would hang back in the corner. You would always take the least. You'd always take the last, you know, the last little bit. When everyone else had taken their stuff, you'd always get the last little leftover because you felt like that's all you deserved. I'm bringing you forward today, he says. I'm bringing you out of the corner. I'm bringing you out into the light, into my light, because I love you. I've chosen you. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and delighted to do so. I love who you are. I love who you are on the inside. I love your heart. I love so many things about you. And you haven't been able to receive my love because you've been hitting yourself with a hammer for so long. You've been bashing yourself in your mind with your own words for so long. You haven't been able to receive my love. But I'm telling you, tonight, I want you to receive my love because you are so precious to me. And I want our relationship to be one of togetherness. I don't want you back in the corner. I want you with me. I want you in my arms. That's where I want you, says the Lord. I love being with you. I love being with you. And I want you to know it. So I'm giving you wholeness. And that's what I died for. I want you to receive everything I died for you to have because you're so precious to me. Your life is precious to me. Your heart is precious to me. You are precious to me. And the things that are bother to you or that hurt you or that worry you, those things are important to me. Those are not little things. They're important to me, says the Lord. Very important. I care about a lot more than you think I care about. I care about the littlest details. I care about your life. I care about you. I want you to have joy. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. So I'm inviting you, he says. I'm inviting you today, even this moment, and for the rest of your life, to come freely into the Holy of Holies anytime you want. And I hope you do it all the time because I love being with you. It makes my day. It makes my heart sing when my kids come in. So Fight the enemy. Fight those lies. Fight your way in if you have to, but come into me and you will always be welcomed. Always. I will always love you. I will always accept you. Always. Because that's who I am. And that's what I died for. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, that was a bit of a long prophetic word, but I felt like God wanted it said that way. He wants you to know this is about you and him. That connection between your heart and his, and how dear that is to him, how important that is to him. It isn't even about what you do for him. It's about that togetherness, that relationship. That's what he loves. That's what makes his heart beat, okay? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.